If you're a pro, you know that this is not efficient because you know there's a better way. There's also a better way to save. When pro customers buy building supplies in bulk at Lowe's, they save up to 20% every day. Buy in bulk and save up to 20% on concrete, gypsum, and gypsum accessories. At Lowe's, buy more, save more. Visit the Pro Desk or lowesforpros.com for details. Discount applies to contractor pack items. Minimum purchase required, U.S. only.
You are Locked On Bengals, your daily Cincinnati Bengals podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is the Locked On Bengals podcast. I'm James Erpine on Twitter, at Locked On Bengals, at James Erpine. Subscribe, iTunes, and audioboom.com. Sorry we missed you yesterday. Back at it today with a huge, huge show. In fact, our next three shows, we're going to close this week off strong. Dave Lapham today, tomorrow, John Ledyard, NFL draft analyst Joe Goodberry working on him for Friday. So a guest on every day this week to finish out the week strong. And Dave Lapham joins us now, obviously, Bengals Radio Network. He's the man for all Bengals offseason news. Dave, I appreciate you joining us. Let's start with Andrew Whitworth and Kevin Zeitler. Both of those guys depart in free agency. Just give me your thoughts on how this Bengals offensive line looks without them.
Well, yeah, there's no doubt they lost their two best offensive linemen and two offensive linemen that got the most money in free agency. They both set the bar at $12 million apiece, with obviously at the tail end of his career and Kevin Zeitler, in Cleveland's opinion, at the in the prime of his career, they gave him the most money any guard has ever gotten in the National Football League. So, obviously, got some work to do. I mean, the pressure is going to be on Paul Alexander. It's going to be on Fisher. It's going to be on Owehi. It's going to be on Andre Smith. It's going to be they're going to have to do things differently, obviously, than they did last year because they've got different people they're working with that have different abilities, and maybe some techniques are going to have to change a little bit. But there's going to be a lot of scrutiny on that offensive line. I know Cedric Owehi is doing everything he can this offseason to toughen himself up, basically, is what it boils down to. You know, he's at boot camp as such, and he's working hard and trying to develop a little bit better anchor ability and toughness in terms of responding to people bull rushing them left and right. So that's a good starting point for him.
Looking at this team, they have stars. I mean, they have really good players, great players. A.J. Green, Vontaze Burfict, Geno Atkins. But I look at this roster and just compare it to a couple years ago, and really looking at it last year, they didn't do anything exceptional. The running game, the getting to the passer, there's nothing I could say they do great. Is that something between now and in September they need to establish an identity of either running the ball well or getting to the passer or just being great in one or two areas?
Yeah, I think they do have to, you know, determine what it is that, that you know, when push comes to shove, when their backs are against the wall, what can they count on? What is it that they can do to get them over the top to win football games? And every defensive coordinator in the NFL would take the inside-outside pass rush of Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap. That's a good starting point for a defensive football team in today's NFL that, you know, wants to throw it every down. Pressuring the quarterback in a myriad of ways, not only sacking the quarterback, but getting him off his spot, you know, making him have to extend and create plays and making him uncomfortable, not allowing him to step up in the pocket, you know, just all the things that go along with it when you have a good inside and outside pass rusher. And honestly, you know, Bengals in this run that they've had, which has been a good run, there's no doubt,
Absolutely.
You know, making the playoffs five times in the last 7 years. It's been a nice run. But they've never done damage in free agency. It's always been with the draft. So they're not ones to step out in free agency as such. 11 draft picks, Cleveland and Cincinnati are tied for the most in the NFL. And the Bengals are all about the compensatory picks, James, as you know. I mean, 28 compensatory picks, you know, tied for ninth since 94. So, you know, teams that are leading the NFL with compensatory picks, Baltimore, Green Bay, Dallas, New England, three of the franchises, perennial playoff team. Dallas obviously has had a great year last year. So, I mean, I think in today's football, you have to be able to do a little of both. I think that you improve your team most readily and quickly by utilizing the draft and free agency and not one or the other. The Bengals have been all about the draft and very little in free agency. Others have been all about free agency and really haven't put their bat in the ball in the draft. And I think teams that combine it a little bit are the ones that benefit the most. But you know, when you look at some of these teams that have stockpiled compensatory picks and tried to live through the draft, three of the four have been, and counting the Bengals, four out of the five have been pretty successful. You know, in that arena where it's like build through the draft, develop your players, and retain them when you possibly can.
Lap, you look at this draft, and I hear it's a deep draft for pass rushers, and obviously the Bengals need a pass rusher. Is that something with the ninth pick? Because I look at this draft, and it's the first time since 2011 where they had a top 10 draft pick, and they drafted A.J. Green fourth that year. If you're a Bengals fan, you have to hope you can get someone that has that kind of impact this year. Do you think that kind of guy, kind of player, will be there potentially at nine?
You hear guys say that there are four superstar type players in this year's draft, and then from then on, you know, you get the same type of player from pick number five to maybe pick number 40. You know, not a huge difference in their grades. I think it'll all depend on how Bengals, you know, set their top 10 on their board, you know, when they do their top 50 players in the league. If in fact, there's a receiver that they have rated, like they had A.J. Green rated as the best player in the draft when they get him with the fourth pick.
Yeah.
The draft, they have him rated as the number one prospect in the entire draft. I mean, if they've got one of those two wide receivers rated higher than, you know, any remaining pass rusher at number nine, I wouldn't be surprised to see him pull the trigger at wide receiver, you know, because let's face it, you talk about areas where you can go from good to great. If you can get another pass rusher to go along with Atkins and Dunlap, you know, another young guy that can really put him over the top in that area in terms of, well, you got three guys you got to worry about now, or get another receiver that can do damage on the other side of A.J. Green and Tyler Eifert in the middle of the football field,
mm-hmm.
All of a sudden you're taking two of your, you know, positions where you do have some good assets. If all things being equal, everybody stays healthy, you know, as we know, I mean, Tyler and A.J. were on the field, you know, two or three games last year together. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's the strength of your offense not even being a factor in the season. And the other thing that, you know, in my mind, William Jackson and Andrew Billings, last year's draft, a lot of people had both of them rated as first-round talent. They get Billings in the fourth. It's like adding two extra first-round picks, so you have 11 picks in this year's draft, plus two potential first-round type talents that couldn't even contribute for you last year. So, you know, it's going to be a very, very big draft and a very, very big off-season or preseason in terms of evaluating and slotting that talent and seeing what you can come up with.
Dave, they obviously re-signed Dre Kirkpatrick, Adam Jones still on the roster. You mentioned William Jackson III, and I think it's interesting if Adam Jones is still on this roster and they have Dre Kirkpatrick, I look at the depth chart, and I'm not sure where William Jackson III is going to be able to get in the game and get some playing time.
Well, yeah, and then you throw Darqueze Dennard in there as well, and yep. Now you get four number one draft pick corners again, you know?
Yep.
I mean, it's like something that they've hung their hat on. You have that kind of depth, and honestly, you know, maybe not in the starting lineup, but as we know, you got to have three, and you have to have four corners. The way everybody's spread in the field, because a lot of times, you know, these tight end / receiver, if you get a long corner like a William Jackson, you know, might be able to match up with these big, tall, you know, tight end / wide receiver, you know, type guys. So, I mean, I don't think he can have enough corners in today's NFL. And if all hands are on deck, depending on what happens with Adam Jones and again with Darqueze Dennard being nicked up and William Jackson missing his whole, you know, rookie year, they've been definitely stung by the injury bug in the back end. They can have a healthy season on the back end. You know, now all of a sudden you get four pretty talented guys, you know, before you even have to consider going to other guys that have made contributions, shown they can play a little bit. You know, Josh Shaw has shown he's versatile, can play, you know, both inside and outside. And I think Barry Russell is going to be an interesting guy, you know, third
yeah.
round
yeah.
talent out of Notre Dame. So, you know, just going to have to let it play out, see guys stay healthy and let it play out and let them fight it out.
when you look at this draft, in last year, I think a lot of people realized that they wanted to potentially get a wide receiver, maybe a speedster in round one. They really haven't found that guy since. They did re-sign Brandon LaFell, and Tyler Boyd had a good season. You think if it's not in round one that they take a wide receiver that adds that dimension of downfield threat in the draft?
Yeah, I could see him taking that. Even if they do take a receiver in round one, if it's not that vertical guy, I think they'll take another one that is a vertical guy. If they don't get the guy that runs the sub 4.440 or is like a 4.42 guy, if they don't get him, but they get a guy that is a playmaker and has good speed and is a very talented wide receiver that played well, whether it be the ACC or the MAC. I mean, those two receivers, number one and number two, depending on who you listen to and talk to, and looking at the tape yourself, I mean, you can make cases for both guys. Neither one of them is noted as a huge speedster. One a little faster than the other, one bigger than the guy who's a little faster than the other. It would not shock me. I mean, but that's the beauty of having 11 picks. If you have a need, you have a pass rusher need, you have a wide receiver need, double down. I mean, it increases your odds of hitting one. You don't hit one in the first round. Hey, David Verser and Chris Collinsworth. Verser in round one, Collinsworth in round two. Verser didn't pan out. Collinsworth was very good.
Yep.
Excellent. So no matter what the situation, whatever position group you need, double down. I'm not saying take wide receivers in the first and second round or pass rushers in the first and second round or whatever, but when you've got multiple picks because these compensatories, next year even more so. God, but this year, you're looking at an extra fourth rounder. There'd probably still be a value wide receiver that's got good enough speed even in the fourth round or the third round if you take one in the first. I mean, I would not hesitate to double down.
Lap, when you look at this running back class, I definitely think the Bengals will consider a running back at some point in the draft. They met with Joe Mixon. Do you think that's an option for the Bengals in the draft?
That's going to be very interesting. I get to know Joe Mixon a little bit doing Oklahoma spring games, and I actually talked to him before his incident when he was a high school senior at the spring game before his freshman year at Oklahoma. And, Stoops and all the coaches were so high on the guy. We got one here. Now this guy is unbelievable. He's the real deal. He's legit. And he was an impressive 18-year-old. Gosh, he looked like a man at 18 years old. And then, all the problems unfolded. And it all depends. I mean, it depends on the vetting process, what your gut feel is, what kind of a support system you think you have. Can your team take the bullets they're going to take? After he's selected, because there are going to be bullets, both not only with from your community, but other communities in the NFL. I mean, are you built to withstand that? Can the support system hold up? Is it impermeable? I mean, a lot of those things you have to consider. So, I will say though, I met him before the incident and after the incident, and of course, it's not. I can't say it's on a day-to-day basis or anything close to that, but my dealings with him, he was the same guy before and the same guy after, made a humongous mistake. I mean, inexcusable, humongous mistake. How do you weigh that? Where everybody's going to weigh it differently. It's going to be interesting to see how the Bengals weigh it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. He's Dave Lapham. Lap, you're the best, man. I appreciate the time.
James, anytime. You're my man.
Dave Lapham is my guy. I appreciate you, Dave, for coming on. That great stuff from him. What I think is interesting, I'm a wide receiver guy. You know the draft, and I'm all about the draft, and the draft is in 29 days. And I look at it, and it's one of those things where if they could draft a wide receiver like Corey Davis and then get a speedster as well that can come in and be that guy on situational downs, on situational plays that the defense always has to be wary of, plus A.J. Green, plus Tyler Boyd, plus Cody Core, good luck. Like, that's the identity I want. I want the Bengals to be great at something in 2017. And adding a Corey Davis plus another wide receiver that could just burn down the field, that's something that I would jump at. I would love to see, especially with the way Corey Davis can run after the catch. Stud. By the way, another guy, and we'll talk about him tomorrow with John Ledyard of InsideThePylon.com, also co-host of Locked On Draft, Locked On the NFL Draft podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And I'm going to ask John about Carlos Henderson from Louisiana Tech. He's a guy I really, really, really like. And we'll talk to him about Joe Mixon and so much more. So stay tuned for that tomorrow. And like I said, I'm going to make it up to you. I know I missed yesterday. I try not to miss any weekdays. And that's something yesterday. It just came up at the radio station ESPN 1530 where I, on the fly, had to fill in a three-hour show. Didn't get to record the podcast yesterday. So for the next 3 days, I'm going to get you star-studded guests. 29 days until the NFL draft. Tomorrow, John Ledyard, Locked On NFL Draft Podcast, will join us. And then Joe Goodberry, working on getting him for Friday, when we'll be just 27, less than 4 weeks away, 27 days from finding out who the Bengals pick in round one. Right now, it's 29 days away on Twitter, at Locked On Bengals, at James Rapine. Subscribe, iTunes, audioboom.com. And between now and then, now in the draft, I hope to get Dave Lapham on one more time. I won't jinx it. I'm James Rapine. I appreciate you listening to the Locked On Bengals podcast.